hope that last phrase Aaron just read is a reminder of what we talked about last week. I know many of us wander around and we think, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? How am I supposed to accomplish this or that or the other thing? But a lot of times what we don't realize is God has a purpose for your life. You know, if that weren't true, he'd have taken you to heaven the moment of salvation. I've heard just people ask this question time after time after time. Why did God leave me here? What am I here for? Especially when you get older. See, I remember when I first became a bricklayer, I was 6'6". After 40 years of laying block and brick and all that other stuff, you see what happens. But you're never too old, and it's never too late. Because God still has a purpose for you. God still wants you to do something. You remember we talked about last week about the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, your very being. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. That hasn't changed a bit. The Lord intends to influence others through you. Our purpose is to be a vessel through which Christ overflows into others. Just as we did this morning, touching those who hurt and desperately need a Savior. Once we're saved, once we've given our heart to the Lord, God has a purpose. Now I know there's people who sometimes come in here, especially if you're younger, and they don't really want to be here. God has a purpose for your life if you let him. Scripture teaches our involvement is threefold. First of all, the greatest command is that we love others. Jesus himself clearly stated that this was one of the two greatest commandments. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. I don't know about you, but I've got neighbors that aren't very lovable. Some of them. You know, in prayer this morning, someone mentioned, well, I got family members like that. I know most of you don't, but I've got a couple. And it's not easy. But see, Jesus taught, and he lived to love those who didn't love him. Not only the ones who did, but the ones who didn't. Matter of fact, he came to die while we were yet sinners, not even connected to him, not even wanting him, not even wanting to be around him. But he stated that we must love one another, even as we love ourselves. That's a tall order. But secondly, he wants us to share the good news of the salvation. We are missionaries right here in this place. But never forget, the biggest mission field is outside these doors. Some travel all across the world to spread the gospel. Others teach neighbors. across the street. You know what? The Holy Spirit will direct us to the right people if we're willing to obey, if we're willing to care, if we're willing to seek God. He will put people in your path. I know He did for me. I could name after name that God put in my place. I sat under good biblical preaching for 2 years and had people witnessing to me before I came to know the Lord as my Lord and Savior. That's kind of what it's called, hard-hearted. I watched our son go up and down and back and forth for years. But we kept praying. For years. But he came to the Lord. And that's God's way of saying never, ever give up praying for someone. Especially those family members that kind of rub you the wrong way. We even got to pray for them. Thirdly, we serve in a variety of ways, like helping those in need, sharing our resources, lifting others in prayer. A lot of you do that already. Let's talk about the Good Samaritan for a minute. If you've ever read that story, it's in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 36. Jesus talks about the Samaritan and how he was beaten and robbed, and even his clothes were stolen. So he lay in the ditch naked, bloody, bruised, and beaten. And two people passed him by. And finally, the Samaritan, who was hated by the Jews and whatever, happened to stop by, and he had compassion on this guy. There's where it begins, a heart of compassion. And then he follows through. He binds the guy's wounds the best he can. And can you imagine picking this guy up? Probably couldn't help himself hardly at all. He's all bloody, beaten, and bruised, and you got to pick him up and put him on the donkey. It's kind of messy. Kind of not just the right thing you want to do, you know. But he loads him on. And then he takes him to an inn. And he looks after him for a while there. And then he gives the innkeeper 2 days' wages to take care of him until he gets back. And then he says, if I owe you any more when I come back, I'll pay you for it. That's kind of like going out of the way quite a bit, isn't it? You ever think about doing that? How far you got to go to show compassion? I think Jesus is trying to make it clear here. You go as far as you need to go. But you can't do it without that heart of compassion. Jesus' entire life was our perfect example. Lifting others in prayer, both those who he loved and those who he didn't. In fact, the Bible teaches that he humbled himself and became like us, willing to give up his life for our redemption. There's no greater act of service, there's no greater act of love than that of Jesus himself. See, here's the rub. We will sometimes go out of church after hearing a message and say, I know, I got to do that. I got to be more mindful. I've got to do something for someone. By the time you get home, it begins to drift. And after a while, it's gone. You know why? It took me a long time to discover this. I just had this conversation this morning with someone. You can't do it on your own. You can't work up compassion. You can't just say, I'll do this or I'll do that and think it might happen. You can't pull it out of the sky and think it's going to work. Without the power of the Spirit, we can do nothing. That's why Jesus told his disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait there until the Holy Spirit comes on you and gives you power. Same thing here. We need to wait and pray upon the Lord. He will show us what to do. He'll show us where to go. He'll show us who it is we need to have compassion on. Well, Scripture clearly defines the believer's purpose. Aligning ourselves with God's intentions for his children, loving others, witnessing and serving, they will bring great satisfaction, you know. In fact, we're still on earth not merely to hear more teaching like this, but to act on it and share with others what we learn. That's our objective for this week, you know, and for the weeks to follow. Calling upon the Holy Spirit to show us how to serve. Many of us sometimes are just happy to come to church. Praise God. Pray. Hear a message. And we fulfilled our obligation. It's just the beginning. You need to really come to know who God is by spending time in prayer, by spending time in the Word, and waiting upon the Holy Spirit to spur you to action. Do you know what would happen in this place if everyone hearing this message today did just exactly that? We talk about revival, but I think you probably would see one. When others begin to see truly how they can be loved through Christ. That's our job today. It's a job tomorrow. It's a job forever. God has placed you in the place you're in, whether it's in the home, whether it's in school, whether it's on the job, wherever it is. He expects you to serve right where you're at. That's why he's placed you there. That's why he's given you that place, or put you in that place, so that you can love those around you. Not with your love, because you can try and manufacture that, but until you feel the love of Christ flowing through you, then you'll accomplish his goal, his way, and you will see the blessings of the Lord. I'm reading through the Old Testament again, and I can't help remember how, as the Israelites kept going and grumbling and trying to go off on their own, God kept telling them over and over again, just listen to my words, just be obedient, and you will be blessed. Hasn't changed any. Jesus speaks that same thing from the cross. Follow me, and I will bless you.